not really focused on vaccine in this paper, but it is related. This is actually looking at stigma of HPV infection. So I first want to acknowledge my collaborators here. We're a good team at the University of South Florida, and especially Dr. Ellen Daly, who's the principal investigator of the SIR study, which is where this data was obtained. I don't have any financial relationships to disclose. And at USF, we had a unique opportunity to study the cognitive and emotional responses of HIV infection in men who were regularly being tested as part of a natural history study that was going on at Moffitt Cancer Center in Tampa. And the SIR study is where this data comes from, and that was the behavioral arm of this natural history study. And it included men between the ages of 18 and 70 years old, and they were tested every 6 months for 2 years. And after they received the test result as part of the natural history study, they completed our psychosocial questionnaire that kind of asked them about their thoughts and feelings about their recent diagnosis. Now, the SIR study is important because, like was just previously mentioned, we know almost nothing about the implications, the psychosocial implications of HPV infection in men, apart from genital warts. And really, HPV has largely been framed as a woman's disease, which is nicely characterized by this Men's Health article I found that was published a couple years ago. And it was titled, "The Women's Disease Men Should Care About." And this was an article about oral sex, and it actually was before the vaccine was actually licensed for men. So part of the reason why no research focuses really on HPV infection in men is that men aren't tested for HPV as are women. There's no FDA-approved test for men. However, there are ongoing investigations for the use of HPV DNA testing in men for a variety of purposes. And one of these is anal disease management. This is primarily in men who have sex with men who have an increased risk of anal cancer. There has also been recent investigations looking at the diagnosis of oral pharyngeal cancers using DNA testing. And there's been some work looking at HPV testing of urine samples for epidemiologic surveillance. I would also argue that men are actually tested by proxy through their female partners. So any kind of cursory search of these internet message boards, and you find a lot of concern about men whose female partner has disclosed to them that they have been infected with HPV. And I actually have a brief post here I want to read to you that kind of summarizes a lot of what men were feeling about this. And this gentleman said, "I'm a single man who recently slept with someone who I found out to be infected with HPV, in particular one of the high-risk strains. I have no obvious symptoms of anything." And he says, "However, men are often do not show symptoms of HPV, so I still may be a carrier. It seems likely HPV is transmitted, and we had sexual intercourse 3 times without protection, but I just don't know. This is really frustrating. Before this, I've been clean. Now I need to talk to any potential partners about the possibility I have high-risk HPV so they can educate themselves and decide whether or not to take the risk." So I think these types of anecdotes suggest that HPV infection does have psychosocial impact on men, despite the fact they aren't being routinely tested. And what kind of concerns men on these postings is sort of the ambiguity that occurs with infection. We know that it's highly transmittable, and most people, sexually active adults, will actually be exposed to HPV in their lifetime. And the CDC estimates that about 6 million new infections occur each year. But for most of these people, it's a really no health consequence. Their own immune systems will clear the infection, they won't have any symptoms, and no medical intervention will be required. On the other hand, there's no cure for HPV, and persistent infection can result in highly undesirable genital warts and some estimated 26,000 HPV-associated cancers in both men and women. And that includes cervical cancer and anal cancer and some of the other cancers that have been associated with it. So this kind of ambiguous epidemiological profile creates sort of a health education problem of educating the public. And so the public perceptions, given that they have low knowledge, and there's been recent survey data that shows that both men and women have actually little knowledge about HPV other than the fact that it is associated with cervical cancer. So there's a lot of media attention about HPV, and not only just from the controversies surrounding the vaccines, but also the new evidence suggesting that HPV is linked to oral pharyngeal cancers. And our concern from a psychosocial perspective is that this repeated media exposure to these HPV cancer links may actually increase the psychosocial burden in both men and women of just actual perceived HPV infection. And these, if you read these stories, they don't also talk about, contextualize the actual risk of developing a disease from the infection. So penile cancer, for instance, which affects males, is actually really rare cancer, and not all of them are associated with HPV. So these kind of stories lack this context that provides people to accurately evaluate what the risk of getting a disease from the infection is. So what the fear is that these media attentions are going to create kind of an exaggerated sense of risk. And there was some research last year published by Deborah Munsell that found that 40% of young women in her study believe that HPV infection always causes health problems, which is exactly not true. And so heightened risk perceptions can result in these unintended psychosocial burdens. And we know from psychosocial research with women is that after receiving a positive test result, they're often confused at what the implications of that test result are going to mean for their health. And they express feelings of fear and shame and stigmatized from having a sexually transmitted infection. And a lot of women express distress and concern about what their responsibility is to their current and future sex partners in terms of disclosure. So from the anecdotal evidence I presented, we can kind of hypothesize that men are going to express similar feelings. So this study, we looked at to what degree men felt shame and stigma as a result of testing positive for HPV, and also what factors may explain the variation in these feelings of stigma. And we used Howard Leventhal's parallel processing model, and we hypothesized three groups of predictor variables. And one of those was the background variables, including age and race, ethnicity, education, and their relationship status at the time that they were receiving their test results. Illness threat includes the actual HPV positive test result, which with all 190 men in this sample tested positive. And we also looked at if they ever had have symptoms in their lifetime of HPV, and that was including genital warts. Representations of danger include sort of their cognitive understanding and their knowledge of HPV, and also what their perceived threat of genital warts was, and their perceived threat of HPV-related cancers. Our outcome variable was HPV-related stigma, which was a composite measure of B6 indicators. And this is pretty common for stigma-type measures. We looked at their feelings of guilt from having HPV, whether or not telling other people was risky to them, if they felt that they were paying for past behaviors, if they felt ashamed and unclean from having HPV, and if they worried that people would judge them. And the scale did have good internal consistency. Our sample was 190 men who were tested positive in their first visit. Average age was 31 years old, and they were mostly white, but we did have 19% African-American and 15% Hispanic. Most of them had high school diplomas but no college degree, but we did have a fair number of college graduates. And in terms of our results about the stigma, there was a moderate degree of stigma reported. And this chart kind of shows the percentage of men in each of the five stigma categories. And about 30% of the men were in the higher stigma categories. And two of the highest indicators that we found were that men perceived that people would judge them if they found out they had HPV, including their other partners. And also that having HPV would be risky. Telling someone else that they had HPV would be risky, which are kind of classic indicators of stigma. As can be expected, we did find that men did have high degrees of perceived threat related to three cancers affecting men related to HPV, and that's anal, penile, and oral cancers. But they also did have some degree of perceived severity of genital warts and also concern about genital warts, which is important for our overall findings. This is a ordinary least squares regression model. And what we found is that the severity of genital warts and concern about genital warts, which kind of makes up the construct of perceived threat, were both positively associated with HPV stigma. We also found that not having a current sex partner at the time of the test result was related to increased levels of stigma. So having a sex partner was actually protective for men when they received a positive test result. And this model controlled for age, race, ethnicity, education, whether or not they have ever had symptoms of HPV, such as genital warts, and also their HPV knowledge. None of those were actually associated with stigma in this model. And overall, the model accounted for 30% of the variance in HPV stigma. So in summary, our results indicate that men testing positive for HPV felt a moderate amount of stigma related to that infection. and that higher levels of perceived threat from genital warts were related to the feeling stigmatized, and that actually being in a current sexual relationship was protective against these feelings. Our next step, given that we have perspective data, is we want to look at do feelings of stigma persist, and what factors explain that persistence over the course of the 2 years that they were tested? And also, how do these feelings of stigma relate to HPV vaccine intentions? So sort of the take-home message is that HPV is not only a woman's issue. It can be stigmatizing in men even in the absence of clinical disease. And we need for accurately scientific risk messages. I think we should be cognizant when we're educating men and women about HPV and the related risks. And while that HPV is associated with these serious health threats, it's a necessary but not a sufficient cause. And for the majority of people who are infected, their own immune systems will be able to handle the infection. Also, health education messages may benefit from normalizing or destigmatizing the infection. We often find that men and women aren't aware of how actually prevalent HPV is. And in our study, our results indicate that actually addressing issues of the threat of genital warts may be actually helpful to men specifically. And I submitted these right before the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices made their final recommendation. So it looks like we actually may be getting a general neutral vaccine program in the very near future. So on that note, I will end.